Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you are going to identify, apply, and learn to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries. And as always, it is an absolute honor and a privilege to have you with us again today. It really is. Now, what's going to be on our schedule for our 30-minute time together today? Well, first, I know that you know that God's Word is important, right? I mean, it is important to you and it is important to others. But the question has to come, what others? What others are we talking about? With whom can you prayerfully consider sharing some or all of what God is teaching you about what He has to say about money? Well, as you know, if you've been listening the last several weeks, there are three generally underserved groups of folks in our community and within the body of Christ that can really use your help. Our single parents, our children, and our senior citizens. Now, we've already talked about helping meet the needs of our single parents. Last week, we laid the foundation for helping our children, and this week, you're going to hear some general thoughts and some specific examples that will help you lead your younger children ages 2 to 13, helping them learn and apply Bible-based financial principles and applications. Then we're going to invest some time in some actual questions parents have about helping to teach their younger children. Our consumer advocate friend Clark Howard is going to share with us some great shopping deals that always happen this time of year, always happen in August each year. And finally, one of our favorite Christian leadership authors and speakers and teachers, John Maxwell, is going to share with us his thoughts on the word team. So stay with us, won't you? It's going to be a great time together with the Lord. You're not going to want to miss a single minute. And let's start, as we always do, by making sure that He is the one that's driving this time together. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for meeting with us and teaching us and challenging us again today. Will You please give us ears to hear and the faith to put into practice all that You have planned for us today to Your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, as we kick off our radio seminar time together today, recall again that God gives you His Word for two really, really good reasons. And do you remember what they are? Sure you do. First, He expects you to get what He has to say to you up and operating in your life. You are to be involved in some personal applications. And then secondly, you are to allow His Word to flow through you to be a blessing to others. And who are some of the others He expects us to share with? Well, what about three of the most underserved folks within the body of Christ and our communities today? What about sharing with our singles and children and our seniors? And so far, the last couple of weeks, we've talked about sharing with our singles. Last week, we talked about some basic parental guidance for sharing with our children. And during our time today, you are going to discover some very specific things you can prayerfully consider as you help your children up to the age of 13 learn and apply Bible-based financial principles. So let's do just that. And I got to believe the best place to start is with the Bible. Let's see what the Bible has to say. For example, Ephesians 6:4 says this, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Good verse. And then we find this in Proverbs 22:6. "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." So from the Bible, we begin to discover that when we begin to work with our children, it is helpful to remember that we are not raising up children. We're not raising up children. We are raising up future adults. And what this means is that we need to learn to deal with their individual personalities. We need to recognize that our children are not stamped out with just little bitty cookie cutters. And we need not to try to make them over into the little bitty people that we wish that we would have been, could have been, or should have been. Okay? So how do we go about this in the early years as we begin to lead in the area of finances? Well, let me give you some suggestions that worked well in our family, okay? First of all, generally speaking, and this is based upon what the Bible tells us as well. Generally speaking, first thing we got to do is to learn to be consistent. The Bible tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So you see, as parents, we already know, do we not? We already know that being inconsistent is probably one of the worst things we could ever do for our children. So we need to learn to be consistent, and we need to learn to be fair. Ephesians 6:4 talks about not provoking our children. Listen, my friend, I can tell you from personal experience, being unfair provokes our children. And by the way, how do we define fairness when it comes to finances? Well, I suggest a couple of things. First of all, we need to consider their attention span when we begin to teach and lead in this area. And it also helps to ask for their input. Listen to this. This is good. I learned this from Larry Burchetta years and years ago. It's helpful to ask for their input when it comes to setting the consequences when they don't do what we teach. You know what I found? I found that my children's discipline choices were often a whole lot more severe than mine. Okay, we need to be consistent, fair. Next, we need to be flexible. And being flexible is to remember that things that work for one child may not work for another child. Next, we as parents need to learn to be disciplined ourselves. Proverbs 15:32 tells us that if we ignore discipline, we despise ourselves. Now, true, we do need to be flexible, but we as parents, we must also learn to become more disciplined, to set the better examples. For example, we need to keep our own rooms clean, okay? We need to remember to turn off the lights. We need to remember to get up when the alarm goes off. I think you get the picture here. We need to learn to do the things, the same things, the right things, over and over and over, because it sets a good example. And by the way, remember that it takes about 21 to 30 days to form a habit. So we must learn to be consistent, fair, flexible, disciplined. And then, and I got to tell you honestly, this was the hardest one for me. We need to learn to be calm when we're working with our children. Proverbs 29:11 tells us, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. My experience is that the most effective parents are the ones who can remain calm, preferably remain calm in the face of all of the circumstances that go on in the family, and do not let their children get them frustrated and upset. So, my friends, those are just some critical beginning general thoughts to consider as we start to teach and train our young folks up to the age of 13 what the Bible has to say about money, all right? But now, let's start the process of getting a whole lot more specific. And right off the top, I got to suggest that we need to learn to have some fun with our children when it comes to teaching them about money. And one good way to do that is to surround your teaching with a lot of activities that you can do together. For example, right at the start, help them decide where they are going to keep all of the money that they're going to eventually receive. You know, don't discuss yet where that money's going to come from. Right now, help them decide where they're going to keep it once it shows up. And what I found that works well is to help your children, help your children make, not buy, but make, three different banks, okay? Now, what they can do is to take three small plastic or maybe cardboard containers, making sure each one of these containers has a plastic cardboard top. Then what you do is that you cut a hole in the top of the container, age appropriately. Older kids cut their own holes. Younger kids, you help them do it. And then have your child write out or have him help you take a magic marker and spell out three words on three different pieces of paper. And the words are give, another word is save, and then the third word is spend. All right? Then what you do is have that child tape one of those words to one of the three containers. Then talk with your child. Talk with your child just a bit about what those words mean. For example, start with the word give. And you can start there and explain that God asks all of us to give some of what he gives to us to help meet the needs of others. And by the way, this might be a great time to start focusing their attention on giving at and through the church. You see, you can explain, we give to the church, first of all, because God tells us to. And he tells us to because it is his plan for the church to use what we give to help meet the needs of others. And here you can talk about things like the clothes closet and the food pantry and all of the other different ministries at the church to help meet people in our community, okay? Then, after you talk with your child about giving, that whatever ends up in the giving bank is going to go to help others, then have your child or help your child decorate that giving bank. I mean, for example, you can have that child draw a picture of your church and then tape that picture to the giving bank. You can take a picture. You can cut a picture out of the catalog. Whatever you do, be creative. Allow your child to be creative to help him or her see what it is to give, to see where their gift will go, and who is going to be blessed as a result. Make this a fun time of discovery, all right? And then, well, you can do the exact same thing with the savings bank. I mean, talk with your child. What is something that that child would love to be able to save up for, to be able to buy? And I'm talking about in the relatively near term. I mean, 2 to 3 to 4 weeks, a month at the most. And again, what you can do is to have that child draw a picture or cut out a picture. You can cut it out together. Tape those, decorate the can with what they would like to save in order to be able to purchase. And finally, talk with your child about the spend can, the spend bank. I mean, what would they like to do with the money in the very near future? And I'm talking about today, tomorrow, or maybe even this weekend, the very near future. You see, it is important for them to start reaping the benefit of working with the money that they have in the give and the save and the spend cans as quickly as possible. Okay? All right. So now, listen, now that they know where their money is going and for what purpose, now they need to see where that money is likely going to come from. And I have to tell you, right off the bat, I got to tell you, there are some, even some within the body of Christ, who say that you should start by giving your child an allowance every week. You give them money so that you can teach them where and how it should be spent. Well, personally, after having grown up under Larry Burkett and Dave Ramsey, I don't agree with that. It's an opinion, but I don't agree with the concept of an allowance. Why? Well, my wife and I didn't want our children to learn that they can get something for nothing. You see, for the most part, and there are some exceptions, but for the most part, I got to believe that children ought to have the chance to earn money every week, no matter what their age, to earn money every week, not simply be given money every week, okay? Why not start right off the bat by beginning to teach your children the relationship between work and reward? For example, around our house, well, I got to tell you at the beginning, around our house, there were some things our children did simply because they were part of our family. I mean, don't even talk to me about getting money for making your bed and cleaning up your room or helping with the dishes or taking out the trash. I mean, don't even go there. I mean, you help out in those areas because you live here. Now, this was age appropriate. This was after they got to be a little older. You know, you're part of the family. That's part of your job just because you're blessed to be part of the family. Now, there were some exceptions, but there was no pay involved in some of these basic duties. But why not also set up some age-appropriate, and I mean to be careful here, age-appropriate revenue-producing activities, for example, like helping walk the dog, change the kitty litter, recycle papers and plastics and aluminum cans. And it would be great. What we found really helped was to put a piece of paper on the refrigerator that showed two different lists, okay? On the refrigerator, two different lists. Now, these lists can be printed words for older children, or they can be appropriate pictures. And what they're going to describe, the words in the pictures are going to describe the duties for the younger children, okay? Now, the first list would be the expected daily duties. No pay at all. You just do them, but explain why, okay? But then there would also be a list of things they could do. They could go above and beyond the expected. And they would expect to get paid cash. Listen, cash, as soon as the chores were performed in an age-appropriate way. Now, what you can do is to clearly post the jobs and the pay for those jobs. And as you do, explain to your children one of the basic rules of work. It applies to you, and it applies to your children. What gets done is what gets inspected. Inspect the work that your child does. Yes, listen, you need to correct slothful work. Yes, you do. But more importantly, you should inspect so that you can try to catch your children doing something right, even something close to being right, so that you can praise them for it as they go along. Look for chances to praise and to celebrate excellence and the steps toward excellence. It's not going to be right the first time. I mean, the first time your child picks up the room, you're probably going to do most of the work. But if you make a game out of it, they see what it's supposed to look like, well, they're going to learn to do it themselves. And when they do, it's not going to be right the first time. But if they're moving in the right direction, you need to give them some praise. You see, the fact is, my friends, listen, the data in history shows that the more you choose to do for your children, the less your children will eventually do for themselves, and the more irresponsible and dependent they are going to become. Listen to me. The data shows that a child without chores is probably going to become an adult without initiative, without organization, and with very little, if any, ambition. Indeed, my friend, listen. Household chores can help acquaint your child with the fact that he or she cannot get something for nothing. All right? So hopefully these are some great things, some great starting points for you to consider as you start to teach and train your children Bible-based financial principles and applications. And here's the kicker here. You know, every Christian bookstore, even online, you're going to find a whole lot of great materials that will help teach and train your children. The point here is, the point that I want to make today is that you are learning a lot about what God has to say about how to manage your money, His resources, correct? Sure you are. But as you learn, and as you learn to apply, you need to keep your eyes and ears open for chances to help your children and other children within the body of Christ. Listen, it's a whole lot better to be proactive, it really is, to teach good financial habits at the start rather than having to work to correct ungodly financial habits later. Now, during our next radio seminar time together, we're going to see how that we can begin to effectively work with our children ages 13 to 18. And by the way, remember, if you miss something here, you can go back and listen or re-listen to any one of our programs at our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. Okay, now let's follow up our radio seminar time together about teaching our younger children with some very specific real-world questions from real-world parents. For example, what about this question? Bob, how old should my child be before I begin training him to handle money? Well, Pete, hey, that's a great question, and it's a great follow-up to our radio seminar time together today. And I got to believe the answer is that you need to start teaching and training them as early as possible, even as early as from 2 to 6 years old. Begin to teach your children through fair but consistent financial discipline around the home. I mean, have some age-appropriate jobs that the children can do without pay, such as cleaning the rooms and picking up their toys. And then, well, then as they grow, you can set some elective jobs that they can do for cash. Now, this might include cleaning up the garage or washing the car, and mowing the yard, you know, cleaning the bathrooms, vacuuming. I think you get the picture here. History shows us that this is going to teach both the value of money and the ethics of doing a job well. See, the earlier you start, the better off your children are going to be. And by the way, there are two principles that should guide you as you begin to teach your children about finances. First, whatever you do, be fair, okay? Don't overpay, do not underpay. It's a good one. Second, be consistent. I mean, if you've announced that you won't pay until a job is done to your satisfaction, then stick to it, okay? If you have promised to pay on completion, then pay promptly. Listen, do not promise what you can't or won't be able to do. And by the way, we found that one way to help teach young children the value of money is to help them establish a goal. This can be as simple as earning a dollar to pay for an ice cream cone or to save enough money to buy a coloring book or some specific toy. Pete, associating work with reward is an important biblical concept. As Proverbs 16:26 says, a worker's appetite works for him. Their hunger drives him on. Great question, Pete. Thank you. Here's another question we touched on just a couple of minutes ago. Dr. Lauder, should a child receive an allowance? Boy, is this a great follow-on question. I mean, can you guess what my opinion is? Well, let's forget my opinion. Let's take a look and see what the Bible has to say, okay? In Proverbs 3:12, we find that because the Lord loves us and disciplines us, we ought to provide that same love and discipline to our children. To me, this means that we don't teach our children to expect allowances. We are to teach them to know what it is to work to earn money. You see, the term allowance implies something that is given rather than earned. And if God doesn't provide us with an allowance, and He does not, then we probably ought not to provide allowance for our children. However, having said that, listen, if you have a child who demonstrates discipline in handling money and you want to give him or her a gift from time to time, a financial gift from time to time, man, that is perfectly acceptable. It really is. Just be sure that you are establishing long-term values in your children that are going to guide them and help them when they become adults. All right? Great questions. Thanks so much. Wow, can you believe it? The summer is slowly starting to wind down. But according to our consumer advocate friend Clark Howard, there are some great deals that are heating up for smart shoppers everywhere for the month of August. This is what we found on ClarkHoward.com. First, there's a whole bunch of good deals out there for back-to-school items. You see, with our kiddos headed back to the classroom, retailers are lowering their prices on school supplies, such as notebooks and pencils and a whole lot more. Stores like Target and Bed Bath & Beyond, Walmart, Amazon are just some of the great places that you can shop no matter whether you're going to kindergarten or to college. And then in August, well, it has a couple of notable food and fun holidays that usually annually offer up some opportunities to get some discounted or free food, okay, and or activities. For instance, August 4th was National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. Did you miss it? Well, many shops, even in our area and restaurants, offered free chocolate chip cookies. Meanwhile, coming down the road is August 13th, which marks National Bowling Day. Now, Bowlero is among one of the chains known to offer great deals on bowling in order to honor this holiday. Then, last year, Sam's Club expanded its annual one-day August savings event into 5 days of extravaganza, okay? They had featured sales that included things like tech items and home appliances and really a whole lot more. And many of the deals were online, okay? So members scored big savings without having to leave their homes. Now, it's anybody's guess as to exactly what's going to happen this August with Sam's Club, but one thing's for sure, this may be a good time. If you're not already a member, it might be a good time to take advantage of their special membership offer. The $45 membership fee pays for itself right off the bat with an instant savings of $45 off your first in-store purchase within 60 days of joining. Now, in addition to all of this from Sam's Club and other places, you can get, if you look around, you're going to be able to get some great deals on items such as summer clothes and air conditioners and fans. So, by the time we get to August, I mean, summer is almost over for a lot of our folks. I mean, kids are headed back to school this last week. Vacations are fast becoming a memory, and it is time to get ready for the back-to-school season. But listen, according to Clark Howard, the savings still continue. They continue to shine as bright as ever if you just look around and check it out. Okay, now finally today, well, it's really one of my favorite times of all of the days that we spend together. See, here now, this is the time we're going to spend a minute with Maxwell. Today, Christian leadership author and speaker and teacher and trainer and coach John Maxwell is going to share with us his thoughts on the word team.
The word today on Minute with Maxwell is team. Hi, my name is John Maxwell, and one of our team members, Dr. Shaw, from Henderson, North Carolina, gave us the word team. I can remember several years ago, I was working on a lesson on team and trying to help my staff, you know, work together better. And all of a sudden, I took the four letters, T-E-A-M, and I began to teach that together, everyone achieves more. Because it's true. Teamwork makes the dream work. And we achieve a lot more as a team together than we do on our own. In my book on the laws of teamwork, I have the law of Mount Everest that says, as the challenge escalates, the need for teamwork elevates. I also teach the law of significance. One is too small of a number to achieve greatness. Well, how do we achieve greatness? By teamwork. How do we climb Mount Everest? By doing it together. Nobody does a solo trip to the top. So thank you, Dr. Shaw, for that word for a minute with Maxwell today. It's a good one. So let's go out and be a good team player today.
Wow. I know you know it's true. It is true that together, everyone achieves more. And I found that the best successes come when they are the result of collaboration with other people. I really have. It's such a joy. Just like John says, teamwork does in fact make the dream work. Thank you again, John Maxwell. And that, well, that just about wraps up our time together today. But before we close, I have a couple of points for you. First of all, if you live in the Hiawassee, Young Harris, or Hayesville area, if you've got a couple of hours available each week to volunteer from home and would like to learn a little bit about what it would mean to become our ministry administrative assistant, please give me a call at 678-386-2640. That's 678-386-2640. The second point is this. We're talking on the radio quite a bit about how to raise children to understand and apply what God's Word says about finances. This fall, we are going to offer our updated How to Raise Money-Wise Children God's Way seminar and workshop. And we would love to come to your church and offer that, or we're going to be offering at our facilities in Hiawassee. If you would like us to come to your church to offer this free seminar, How to Raise Money-Wise Children God's Way, then give me a call at 678-386-2640. That number again is 678-386-2640. And that, my friends, does wrap up our time together today. And let's close as we always do, and that's with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us together and teaching us again today and for each of the days yet to come. All to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember to check out our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org and have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? We're going to look forward to seeing you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom God's way.